Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Belsky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat, and the Penguins offseason rolls along as we finally start to get a little bit of news. Maybe they were just waiting for the end of the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguin season. Maybe that's where Spezza and Dubas and Kessel and Daly, they were all up there in northeastern and then southeastern Pennsylvania checking out the AHL Penguins. And then as soon as that season ended, they got to work. Couple contracts signed in the past 24 hours. We'll discuss that. Is there a former member of a Dubas core that could be making his way to Pittsburgh? And then, of course, closing it out with our weekly Pens poll that has not been weekly as of recently, but we're trying to get back on that weekly grind of the Pens poll. But Horwat, before we get into that, we were talking before the show about the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets and a little bit about the Stanley Cup playoffs as a whole. Have you been disappointed with the first round of the playoffs to this point?
I've been seeing that discourse going around a lot of these playoffs haven't been good because there's two series already over, a third one on the brink of being. Doesn't that go to show how good teams are, by the way?
Like certain teams, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then there's the weird discourse of, oh, the Penguins would have put up a bigger fight. Okay, they probably would have, but also they didn't get in, so who cares? Let's really not start that discussion. Mm-hmm. Have I been disappointed? No, because there's been drama in each one, at least even a little bit. I genuinely thought the Washington Capitals could put up some sort of fight. I was very wrong, and sometimes being that wrong makes things entertaining. And Vancouver was a cup favorite. Now all of a sudden they're working with a third string goalie. They really are Penguins West. Like I said before, I don't know who counted out Colorado going into this postseason. They're showing everyone else wrong. And just what's going on in Toronto, I'm sure we'll discuss it a few more times over the next few weeks. I've been entertained. But you can't be not entertained with playoff hockey. If every series was a sweep, I think I'd have the same opinion. Like, you can't not be entertained with this.
To quote one of our favorite Penguin sportscasters, Phil Bork, if you're not enjoying yourself, you might want to check your pulse, because it's the NHL playoffs. It happens once a year, and the first round is always entertaining, even though this year the series might not be as close. But like you mentioned, sometimes when you're way off, that makes it a little bit more entertaining. I, for one, had Tampa Bay winning that series, and
so did
I. See how that went. But, you know, at the end of the day, Stanley Cup playoffs, they'll kick into high gear. The second round is always the best hockey, in my opinion. The first round's nice because it's a blend of good hockey and just constant hockey, considering It's every night, three or four games. But the second round, I think, is really where it's at when you get to the matchups and you get to the really good competitions between the two teams. But before we continue into what we're discussing today, just a quick reminder, tonight is the Jaromir Jagr bobblehead giveaway. Giving it away around 4 o'clock p.m. We've said it plenty of times. You should know how to enter by now. If not, you can check out and pause the screen at this very moment at Inside the Penguins on YouTube to check out your ways to win. We'll be giving it away today at around 4 p.m. Eastern on a live stream. And a little birdie told me, Horwat, you might be joining me for the typical Tuesday live streams this week.
Was the little birdie telling you I might be joining you? Me.
Yes, it was you. And, you know, I do have my birdies, and most of them are you. So I appreciate you for that one. But let's get into some business here, Horwat, because the Penguins conducted some business on Tuesday. First, re-signing 2019 first-round pick Sam Poulin to a two-year contract to the tune of $775,000 at an AAV level at the NHL. Six games in the past two seasons at the National Hockey League level for Poulin. But in 2023-24, his breakout really came at the American Hockey League level, where he finally put it all together at that level. The defense, the ability to play the 200-foot game, and especially putting the puck in the back of the net. He had 31 points in 41 games, fought through a couple of injuries, but ended with 16 goals, 15 assists, and really had an all-together good season when he was on the ice for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. The question that automatically comes up after this contract is signed is next season do or die for Sam Poulin?
I would say so, in the kindest way possible of looking at it, as I still will stand on, he really hasn't gotten a first chance in the NHL. I mean, he got his first three games early last season, but again, it was just first three games, and then, you know, everyone knows kind of what happened from there with that season. He fought through his own issues that he has come out on the other side of, and has come out much more positive from. That it made this season's three-game stint, it felt more like a first chance. It felt more like a real first go. It felt more like an NHL debut almost, because it was, you know, at home. There was a bit more of a home feeling to it. It wasn't just out west in games that the Penguins were getting slaughtered in. It was at home. There was a bit more length and a bit more time, a bit more health and just freedom to be playing. And then he may have gotten sick. I forget the full details of that. And then suddenly was also out of the lineup again. So it was a quick run that things felt better in. And Kyle Dubas is expecting him to be a full-time NHL next year. I'd say this more or less feels like it's another chance. I don't know about last, but it also doesn't feel like the first. It's a confusing situation. It's just deserved. And going from here, it is a two-way deal. So easy to maneuver. I would say it just feels like a good another chance that might be his last. It's hard to tell. It really is just hard to tell because it's been so bumpy these last two seasons.
Yeah, to me, it's not a last chance, and it's not do or die either. I mean, for two reasons. Yeah. One, he got a two-year contract. Yep. I mean, therefore, this season, technically, if you look at it in a literal sense, it is not his last chance. And for two, he's 23 years old. I understand he's a first-round pick, but not all first-round picks are created equal, right? Not all first-round picks are going to be Connor Bedard. They're not all going to be even a Dawson Mercer who jumped up really quickly, Anton Lundell who jumped up quickly. But the one thing that you do notice about those three names that I mentioned, they all went in the top 10 to the top 15, right? Sam Poulin was a 21st overall selection in 2019, not to mention the fact that you go through COVID and that messes with your development. Somebody that was playing in juniors at the time, so his ice time was a little bit bumpy here and there. He's somebody that was a little bit more of a project, but he's a guy that he showed this year has that 200-foot game. That's something that does not need to be developed very much anymore, and it's just bringing that scoring along. And I'm intrigued to see if he can establish himself at the National Hockey League level next year. That's what I think is next for him. It's kind of similar to where Drew O'Connor was going into this past season, where, all right, he's gotten a cup of coffee, maybe not as much experience as O'Connor, maybe not as polished as O'Connor was coming into that last season, but it's going to be a similar fate to where he's going to get opportunities. Dubas said it from the opening press conference of the season when you asked the question. He expects Sam Poulin, or he hopes Sam Poulin, was going to come up this past season and establish himself at the level, assert himself at the level. He wasn't able to do that, and part of that was also because, like you mentioned, he starts the year with a high ankle sprain. He gets, you know, another injury midway through the season, which messes up with an opportunity to make a call-up. And then when he does get called up, Dubas does reference that he came down with a similar sickness to Tristan Jarry. He was caught up in all of that, taken out of the lineup, and then the Penguins, they went off. Off, you're not going to switch your lineup all that much. So another, you know, injury or off-ice issue, which was this time it was an illness, that kind of took an opportunity away from him. So you're hoping that next year he comes in, has another strong camp, because he did have a strong start to camp this past season, makes that roster out of camp and can stay healthy and assert himself at the National Hockey League level. I think that's the next step for Sam Poulin as far as if it's do or die or the last chance. I don't think so, because again, he's only 23 years old. There should be more opportunities for him, especially because it's not like he's performed poorly when he was actually in the lineup this past season. He performed well. He just needs to stay healthy and finally establish himself, get an opportunity that's more than three games long at the National Hockey League level.
Yeah, he's going to get that chance. Thank you for putting the essential words that I couldn't.
Hey, that's what we're here for. That's why there's two Knicks.
Exactly. That's essentially what I was looking for, and just that it doesn't feel like a first chance. It doesn't feel like a last chance. This is just another step in the... Mm-hmm. A step in the ladder to get to this regular NHL role that, you know, everyone's been waiting for. Mm-hmm. So it's a big step. It was important, and the first, if you want to say it, the first free agent signing of the summer for the Penguins, and we'll go from here because there's still some other, you know, other names that they'll have to get around to and figure out, and it's going to be an interesting offseason that could be starting relatively soon with playoff series ending and now some coaching spots, at least in the AHL level, opening up. We'll see where things go. There's going to be some things to follow from this moment forward until training camp opens.
Yeah, I mean, for 2 weeks, they were radio silence, were the Pittsburgh Penguins. And now within the last, 48 to 72 hours, you got two coaches that were relieved of their duties. They weren't fired because their contracts were up at the American Hockey League level, like you referenced there. And then two contracts. We talked about one in Sam Poulin. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, the Penguins added a goaltender from Europe. We'll talk about who he is a little bit and where he fits into the current hierarchy of the Penguins netminders. We'll be right back after this break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. We talked a little Sam Poulin. Let's talk about the other player that was inked to an identical contract. 2 years, $775,000 at the National Hockey League level. And this one, not from inside the organization. The Penguins signed goaltender Philip Larson. He played 3 years in North America between 2017 and 2020 in four different leagues, won the USHL, then he played a little college hockey at the University of Denver, then some time at the AHL level as well as the ECHL level in the 2019-20 season in the organization for the Detroit Red Wings. He was a 2016 sixth-round pick by the Wings, but he spent last season in Sweden racking up a 19-9 record, a .920 save percentage, and a 1.93 goals against average. What did you think of the addition of Philip Larson to the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Just filling out the goaltending depth in this organization. Kyle Dubas did a good job of that last season with what ended up being Alex Nedeljkovic, Magnus Helberg, Garrett Sparks was down there, and then we saw what the prospects could do in Blomqvist, Taylor Gauthier, and then Murashev, who's still not in the organization yet but is coming along nicely. I think this was just another instance of adding to that depth. Ironically, happened to be a young goaltender, so there's that sort of element that you cannot ignore in this situation. He's only, if I'm not mistaken, 25.
Yep.
That's a useful piece of information to have too down the line if maybe he explodes again. Maybe he finds a new rhythm in the organization. Suddenly you have another young goalie who might be able to make noise in one way or another. I'd say it was just another, on the surface, good for building that goaltending depth, essentially that Magnus Hellberg replacement. I know they got a goaltender in that trade, but I don't expect Ludovic Weber, I just now learned his name correctly, to not stick around, but to stick around and make noise. So it's Philip Larson will be next, and then going from there, just filling out that depth with young talent.
Yeah, that Weber is a unrestricted free agent, I believe, heading into this offseason. So we'll see if the Penguins decide to bring him back. A nice shutout for him to close out the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton regular season. So maybe they do bring him back. Maybe that is something that they look into. Obviously, he was the return or part of the return in the Magnus Hellberg trade. But the Penguins, as you mentioned, still have a handful of goaltenders under contract. A Joel Blomqvist, a Taylor Gauthier, and also Tristan Jarry. Where do you see Larson slotting in, at least as of this moment now? Because obviously the Penguins are going to have a little bit more work to do with their goaltending situation.
At this moment, I'd say he's slotting in exactly where... I don't want to say exactly where Hellberg did, because Hellberg was getting NHL calls before Blomqvist. But I'd say he's behind, just that one behind Blomqvist right now. He's young. He had a good season in Sweden. He might be able to translate that to the back to North America. It would just be a matter of getting games in with the Penguins organization and seeing where things stand. He sounds like a fourth guy at the moment.
A fourth guy, so you'd put him behind even Taylor Gauthier?
Well, maybe
or you
third.
You just mean a fourth guy in the organization-wise, because the Penguins are obviously going to add another name that's going to be Tristan Jarry's 1B, or maybe somebody to battle with Joel Blomqvist.
Yeah, that's essentially what I'm thinking. I was thinking at the moment, Jarry, Nedeljkovic still around, because you never know. For what it's worth, Kyle Dubas said he wanted to see what a long playoff run could do in the AHL for Blomqvist. He didn't get it, so in a way, you could say Nedeljkovic is going to stay on the Penguins' radar? Again, I don't know. I'm just spitballing. But let's say at the moment it's Jarry, Nedeljkovic, Blomqvist, Larson. Boom. That would make him four. If you're taking Nedeljkovic out, then yeah, he's a three, but also maybe still a four because of the battle that needs to essentially happen with Blomqvist.
Yeah, when you look at this situation, I think that's exactly where he stands. I think he's still probably on or around where Taylor Gauthier is. This is a guy that had 17 games of experience in professional hockey in North America. I believe it was 7 games at the American Hockey League level, 10 games at the East Coast level. So it's somebody else that is a young goaltender that can come over and get an opportunity to pick up some starts, to pick up some games. And I'm interested to see, you know, what the Penguins believe his track record and what they believe his ceiling is as only 25 years old. But let's move over and talk a little bit about Kyle Dubas potentially targeting a 1-year rental. It may be time for the band to break up in Toronto. They're down 3-1 Boston. Game 5 is later this evening at TD Garden. And Mitch Marner is catching a lot of flack once again from the Toronto media, who is always level-headed, and the Toronto fan base, who is also always level-headed. 2 points in 4 games for Marner in this postseason. A lot of effort plays have been highlighted on X, formerly known as Twitter, that Mitch Marner just is not playing playoff hockey as of right now. But if the Leafs look to move him this offseason, should the Penguins get involved, Horwat?
Oh, yeah. Some way, shape, or form, they should. If Marner decides to waive the no-move clause, which players are going to do all the time, there's no reason why they shouldn't. Kyle Dubas has that familiarity. He worked that deal out once. I'm not even saying he needs to do it again. You're getting a quick, maybe it is just that 1-year rental. You're going to get Mitch Marner on a contract year if you find a way to make this deal work, because who knows exactly what has to go back. You're going to have Mitch Marner on a contract year looking to prove so many people wrong, considering what he's coming out of. Also, just a change of scenery. Less spotlight on. If he's coming to a team like Pittsburgh, suddenly, sure, he's one of the better players, but he'll be fourth, fifth, maybe even, fifth rung in terms of who people are watching. You're going to have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, and Erik Karlsson maybe ahead of him. Now, he is a superstar talent and likely slides in above a couple of those names, but he won't have the sheer, here's all of the heat on you at all times look. And I know a lot of Toronto people are getting on him, the fact that he wears a letter in that town, on that team. He wouldn't do that here. He wouldn't have to worry about that sort of thing. I will say some of the videos, some of the clips of him, you know, it's mostly on the bench getting yelled at and tossing his gloves around. It's not ideal to see, and it does look, you know, at certain times it might look unfair too. It's playoff hockey, like we said. Even in the bad series, there's still entertainment to be had.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, I know it was a garbage time goal. After those clips emerged, he went out and scored a gorgeous goal. But who knows? I'd say the Penguins and Kyle Dubas, because there's that familiarity there. Kyle Dubas, Mitch Marner. Marner and a couple of Penguins in terms of, who am I forgetting? Michael Bunting and Nola Chari. There's a little relationship there. And don't forget Sidney Crosby and Mitch Marner at the All-Star game in Miami. Mm-hmm. Just saying, there's a little bit of familiarity there. If Mitch Marner's on the way out, because that Toronto team needs change. They needed change last year. They didn't do it. Thank you. Absolutely, Kyle should be on the phone. What did I text you? That he should be calling Brad Treliving before they even get to their plane?
Yeah, and then you also said if the Penguins end up with a first-round pick in some way, shape, or form, whether that's in the lottery or whether that's Carolina making it to the final and the Penguins automatically getting that first-round pick in the Gensel trade, you said you will drive the pick to the airport and send it to Toronto itself. So I know how you felt going into this. Yeah. I'm intrigued because that would make back-to-back off-seasons bringing in a $10 million-plus player for Kyle Dubas. Now, whether there's retained salary or not, that means that you're paying for a retained salary. So either way, that's a huge move. That is a headline-making move for Kyle Dubas. And I'm not exactly sure that he's going to do that 2 years in a row. Now, again, I threw one out there on Friday, and we'll talk about that here in a couple minutes. But you look at the situation in general when it comes to Marner and the Penguins. Would it be good for the Pens? Yes, 100%. He's in the midst of his prime, 27 years old. He is making that $10.9 million for one more season, so it's not like you're buying a future with Mitch Marner unless you choose to re-sign him. But 85 points this past season is no slouch, right? In only 69 games, 26 goals, 59 assists, over a point per game in the last six seasons. This is a guy that creates a lot of offense. And the Penguins, for what it's worth, they had some players that can create offense, but not at that level. You're bringing in a forward that is going to be able to put up massive numbers, might help you on the power play. But again, I'm not going to say sure names is going to help this power play because it would have last season. But I think the biggest thing is going to be, is Brad Treliving and specifically Brendan Shanahan and MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, really going to entertain sending a player that might be out of favor up there, but still a tremendously talented player, no less, in Mitch Marner down to Kyle Dubas. Now, if they can get a bunch out of Kyle Dubas, I'm sure they would. But at that point, is it worth it for the Penguins to trade the farm for 1 year of Mitch Marner? I understand it's win or go home season for the Penguins up until Sidney Crosby decides that he wants to play golf in February and March instead of, you know, May and June. But is that worth it if they end up running the price up because it's the Leafs and the Penguins and Kyle Dubas involved?
It might be, because you have to figure this. The price is going to be high, no doubt. That first round pick would have to be involved some way, shape, or form, if not an A grade prospect. Mm-hmm. Which the Penguins suddenly have a couple of. Just randomly putting that out there. Suddenly have a couple of guys they have very high interest in. But the Leafs are about to, if they lose, especially if they lose tonight, it's not going to just be one of the main core going. It could be Brendan Shanahan getting canned. It could be other faces in that front office getting canned. It could be their head coach getting canned. Keep an eye on that one as well, Kyle Dubas, just saying. Not for the head coaching role. No. But
it's not happening.
Keith, somewhere in the coaching
realm, yes.
Realm would be nice. There might be plenty of opportunity for Kyle Dubas to take advantage of what could be a yard sale up there, regardless of that former connection. If there is a little disdain there, if it's Shanahan the one that's vetoing trades, well, if he's not there, And whoever they get in to replace is not going to hold that sort of disdain or is just trying to make the moves. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that the price will still be high, but it makes it easier to, it makes it an easier phone call.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, again, you look at what this team needs in the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're not one piece away.
No,
they're not. But you can't go from being out of the playoffs and having a bottom six that has been as rocky as the road that the Penguins have driven down and be one piece away. You just aren't. They have some pieces that could come up and be in the bottom six. And, you know, Kyle Dubas mentioned he wants to get much, much younger. And there's those Ponomarevs. There's those Koivunins. Yeah. There's those, you know, who knows, maybe Braden Jaeger, who's at this point, other than the Willing Nailers, the only player in the Penguins organization that seems to still be playing hockey. So there is pieces that you can internally fill and say, all right, then you can get the big piece and fill these other little pieces that are, importantly, on low contracts to help you make the payments for it. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough either way. Now, there's another name out there, and let's close out this conversation with that. There's another name out there that I threw out as an option because he is falling out of favor in his own organization. There's been some trade speculation specifically at around the trade deadline, and there's going to continue to be trade speculation throughout the summer. I brought up a guy in Trevor Zegras, 23-year-old Anaheim Ducks forward, a guy that has had multiple 60-point seasons in his second and third years, respectively, his first two full years, I should say, especially, 23 goals in each of those, but then suffered a lot of injuries this year, including a broken ankle that kept him out for 6 to 8 weeks in the middle of the season. If given the option, Horwat, would you rather the Penguins acquire Mitch Marner via trade, one season, $10.9 million, essentially as a rental, as we're looking at it right now, Trevor Zegras, who I believe has another year on his contract or 2 years on his contract, it's two, at around $5 million, 23 years old, you're buying into a future with Trevor Zegras? Or would you rather the Penguins just simply skip the trade market altogether and re-sign Jake Guentzel, which is probably going to be an extended five-plus year contract at up around 9 to 10 to who knows how many million based on how much Jake Guentzel makes himself in the next couple of weeks with the Carolina Hurricanes?
I would look at the Jake Guentzel contract, just the contract, probably very similarly to getting Mitch Marner and extending him, because they might make about the same amount of money in reality. Jake Guentzel's working his way toward a pretty pricey contract. I saw someone say an 8-year deal, by the way, for Jake Guentzel, and I scoffed and said he's 30 or going to be 30. If that man signs for 8 years, no thank you. No thank you. We've got enough of those contracts where it's, oh, we have a guy signed until he's 39. Lovely. Can't do that. Even if it does bring the number down, I just go back to the negotiating table in 4 years and figure it out.
Fortunately, like, for the Penguins, they don't have his rights, so they can't sign that 8-year deal.
Yeah.
They can sign a seven, but they can't
even
sign an eight.
Even seven's a little egregious to me. It's especially with the direction the Penguins are trying to go in, which Kyle Dubas said on many occasions is younger, and if he was looking for younger and Jake Guentzel didn't fit that mold, I get that the Penguins might want to sniff around that free agent, that free agency if it's available. But I think if they are really trying to go younger, you're gonna go for a guy like Trevor Zegras if he can prove to be something more than a 60-point player, because he could demand that kind of money in a couple seasons. But at the same time, Mitch Marner's proven. I get it's there's 1 year deal left. But he's got the pedigree. He needs that change of scenery. And I know the Penguins aren't a piece away, but there's something about a big name like that leaving a town where he was really scorned in and shoving it to them.
Yeah.
He'll essentially play like two players. And I know, again, are the Penguins two pieces away? Who knows? But he'd come in like a house of fire. And I am not going to get off the Marner train until he plays somewhere else. Where else could he even go?
I mean, probably plenty of places. He'll probably, I don't know, end up in Boston somehow and end up beating the Leafs in a series, because that's how the Leafs' life just goes. That's really honestly it. And honestly, I hate to say it, of these three, Guentzel's the first one I'm crossing out. Especially if it's that 8-year deal, especially if it's up around $9.5-$10 million. That is tough to swallow, especially for a guy that's going to be around post Crosby and is already 30 years old and you want to pay him $10 million for the next 8 years, that one's tough. If the price comes down, if the years come down, the price doesn't even have to come down. If the years go down to maybe five, then, I mean, that's a big drop, though. If they go down to five, then maybe you get in the ballpark. But again, we don't know what, you know, Ben Hankinson and Jake Gensel are looking for, as they haven't really talked about it because he's in the middle of a playoff run. But between Trevor Zegras and Mitch Marner, the reason I like Zegras is because the price for those two, it might be a little higher for Zegras, but you're buying 2 years of him at a lower cap hit. He is 23 as opposed to 27, and he gets the opportunity to come in and play alongside Sidney Crosby, which will teach him a lot about the maturity aspect of the game. Not to say that he's immature, but that is the vision and that is the view of Trevor Zegras from a lot of people in, you know, the National Hockey League spectrum, is that he is a young punk that doesn't respect the game, goes out there and just tries Michigan's and that's it. He's more than that. If you would look at more than just the highlights, he is more than that. He is an offensive play driver. He is essentially a flashier, more brash Jack Hughes. That's how I look at Trevor Zegras. And wouldn't the Penguins be better with a Jack Hughes type of player? Maybe not the same level as a Jack Hughes, but the type of player, the kind of build of player at 23 years old. You're buying a guy that his contract lines up perfectly with Evgeny Malkin's. And then if Malkin chooses to extend beyond that year, which remains to be seen, I think all of us believe that it's probably 2 years and done for Gino, that you already have a guy that if it works out, you can pay him the 9.5, and all of a sudden you have a 25-year-old that is taking right into Evgeny Malkin's spot as his second-line center. And that's as good of a succession plan as you can get. Now, is there better players out there? Is there better options out there? Maybe. But as of right now, that's why I like Trevor Zegras, and that's why I think I would go with him over Marner if it was, hey, pick one of these three and execute the plan. I would go with Zegras personally.
And I don't hate it either. I just, you know, he just does have that oddly bad rap, and I think that's really weird. He shouldn't. He's a great player. He just does need to hit that extra step of what he has the talent, and imagine that kind of talent on a good team. That could also help a lot for him, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 1 year, of those 2 years where he finished with 60-plus points, one of the years the Ducks were 30th in the National Hockey League in goals scored. The other year, I believe, they were 23rd or something like that. So, again, the Penguins weren't top 10 this year, but add Zegras to a list of players like Crosby, who scored over 90 again, with Malkin, who at the end of the season showed that if you give him a good winger, then he's actually going to be able to produce in high volume and high quantity. Michael Bunting, who's going to be able to, you know, have a really good second season. I'm very excited to see that, and I know you are as well. Add him to a team with Erik Karlsson, who's going to be able to feed him open very, very frequently. I just think that there is a very high ceiling for what Zegras could bring. And again, there's a high ceiling for what Marner could bring as well, but the contract and also the fact that there's going to be there's a little bit more of a history of Ducks, Penguins being able to make those amicable trades that work out for both sides, i.e. Rickard Rakell, than there is between, I mean, Kyle Dubas and the Maple Leafs. We've never seen that, you know, him trading with the Leafs. So we'll see what's able to be done there. I mean, the Penguins and the Leafs have a pretty extensive history. They took Jared McCann at the expansion draft a couple years ago for a seventh rounder. So, and Philip Hollander, I think, who's not in the organization anymore. Oh, so
neither organization.
So that is, it's certainly something interesting. It's something that you've been tossing around the last couple of weeks. And I thought this is a perfect time to throw it out there as the Leafs are on the brink of elimination later tonight in Boston. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, closing it out with our weekly Pens poll.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. I'm Nick Belsky. That is Nick Horwat, who enjoyed the Luke Combs concert this week. Everything's coming up Milhouse for you. Did you actually get to see your brother Mason pitch for the University of Penn State?
Yeah, he started on Friday, the day we got up there. We'd just gotten to Wegmans to pick up a couple of things about a mile out from the place we were staying at, and he just texted my stepmom and said, "I'm starting today," and her heart rate immediately went through the roof. But we got to see him pitch, and then because when you start on Friday, you're essentially done for the weekend. So he got to not only pitch, but also spend some time with the friends or with the family and neighbors. So good time. It was a good time all around. It was cold as hell on the day of the show, and that was the only downside.
Yeah, Happy Valley is typically cold. I've never been to Penn State and been warm. Now, granted, I've only gone for football games, but yep. I've never been to Penn State and actually been warm.
It was nice and warm the rest of the weekend. One day, cold.
Well, there you go. It had to get a little chilly for Luke Combs. But we're going to finish off this show with our weekly Penns poll. Going to try to be a little bit more consistent with these polls because we like getting your input into these shows, the loyal listener. Where should Drew O'Connor begin next season? Now, there were three options that we threw out there. Top six winger was the one that most of you voted for. Top six winger got 57% of the vote. Third line winger got 36% of the vote. And third line center got 7% of the vote. Horwath, where do you stand on this? Where should Drew O'Connor begin next season with the Pens?
I'd be fine with him starting in the top six again. Just he showed to have that better Dominic Simone style play that fits well next to Sidney Crosby. It is that not the no-name name, but the unexpected name that goes up next to Sidney Crosby and just fits the mold of exactly helps both players exceed in what they can bring. It's how it looked on the end of the season. It's again, it wasn't the expected outcome of who would be playing next to Sidney Crosby, because it's usually always when you think of your top players, you're going to have the top guys next to him, Michael Bunting, or even, you know, Jake Gensel for a long time, or now we have Brian Rust on the other side, maybe Ricard Raquel would have fit there. No, it was Drew O'Connor, and that's what fits the best. And, you know, if other names come in, sure, give them a shot with Sidney Crosby and see what happens. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's just going to be Drew O'Connor's spot to lose.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at teams, I think the best thing and the best way to put this is the best teams are able to put players in positions to succeed. I'm not saying the first line with Sidney Crosby is not a position to succeed with Drew O'Connor, but him against third line talent is a mismatch for the Penguins, right? It's a better position for the Penguins to put themselves in. If it's him and Eller and Pustinen, I like that as a third line. So my vote's going to go for third line winger simply because what we talked about in the last segment. I would like to see the Penguins bring in another top-tier talent on the forward side. Now, whether that's a big name, big price talent in a guy like Zegras, in a guy like Marner, maybe in a guy like Jake Gensel returning at 30 years old, that remains to be seen. But another top six talent or middle six talent that is going to have a proven track record, right? And can bump up to play with Crosby, because you don't need, as we saw last season, as we've seen throughout his career, you don't need the $10 million left winger next to Sidney Crosby. You just don't. You just need somebody that fits the mold. And typically that's a middle six winger that bumps up and plays. The Penguins were lucky enough to find a top six bona fide stud in the draft. Make him what he is, mold him into Sidney Crosby's basic bionic winger in Jake Gensel for the last seven seasons. But before that, it was Chris Kunitz. Without Crosby, is Chris Kunitz a top-line player, bona fide? No. Pascal Dupuis, without Crosby, is he a bona fide top-line winger? No. You just need somebody to fit the mold. So I think it would be best if the Penguins were able to find that, but if they don't, perfectly fine with Drew O'Connor being there. But I think it's best if the Penguins are able to get that type of player. That way Drew O'Connor can start the season at the third line. If he has to move up, he has to move up. You trust him at this point, because what has he shown? Every year he's gotten better, and every year it's been twice as good. What is the numbers? Twice as many games played, twice as many points. Well, this year it was not twice as many games played, because he played over 40 games last season. He played 79 this year. So maybe not twice, but an exponential amount better in the games played. And he tripled his goals and his points totals. So he's shown you that year by year, he's figuring it out. He's making his game more complete each year. So would I mind him starting in the top six? Not at all. Do I think it's best if he starts in the third line for the Penguins' sake? Yes.
That's fair, too. That would probably be my second guess. I don't want him playing center.
Yeah, I mean, he's played center specifically. He played it at the World Championships last year and had a lot of success. Is he an option at that? Yes, but also has he played center at the National Hockey League level? No. Again, it's a similar thing. I'd like to see the Penguins go out and get, I mean, somebody else that's on the Leafs, and a Max Domi. He's at the top of my list there. I'd like to see the Penguins go out and get a third-line center to be able to bump down Lars Eller to the fourth line, to let him create mismatches against opposing teams' fourth lines, and also move Noel Achari into that old man Jeff Carter role on the fourth line wing.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like Achari's going to go anywhere despite a lot of calls for it. So I could see Max Domi as well. I just think Drew O'Connor playing center, it's just not what we're all looking for here. Yeah. We do want other centers to come into the organization, and like we've mentioned before, Evgeny Malkin's not getting any younger. I mean, at what point do we start having the discussion of him maybe bumping down a line to a third line center or to a wing somewhere? You're going to need centers to fill into that role. That's where a guy like Trevor Zegras could fill in, a guy like Max Domi could fill in. So at some point, those conversations will need to be had. Maybe not yet this season, mm-hmm. or at least to start this season.
Well, as we also mentioned earlier in the show, there's some names that are coming up, some young mm-hmm. guys, some in-house options that could potentially be that third line center role. I mean, maybe a Sam Poulin impresses throughout his summer, gets that position out of camp. Maybe Vasily Ponomarev comes back during his first camp in Pittsburgh, impresses there. Maybe Braden Jaeger, who I would think is probably best served being a winger to start. Maybe he shows that, hey, listen, I'm ready to be a center. And you put him in at third line center, at least maybe for that first 10 games before you have to send him back, if you don't want to keep him up all year, back to Moose Jaw in the WHL. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I think it's nice to have that option for Drew O'Connor, but I think we also saw that he made it work at winger. Why mess up what's been working, right? Like, it's an option, but it should probably be a break class in case of emergency option. Nice to know that he can play center. But Jake Guentzel could play center as well, yet he never did for the Penguins over 7 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, but it'll be interesting. I think we're all excited to see how Drew O'Connor evolves this offseason. He said he wanted to get a little bit more grimy, a little bit more grit, a little bit better in the net front. So I want to see how that evolves. Maybe he and Michael Bunting can share the ice a little bit this summer, and Bunting can give him a couple of tips and tricks. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. We'll be back at 4 p.m., both me and Horwat, to give away a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead. So we hope to see you there. Make sure you bring all your questions. We'll be answering as many as we can, and we will have a great afternoon, whether you're in the city of Pittsburgh or otherwise, talking about the Penguins hockey. But that's it for this one. We'll see you guys next time.